2 Kings chapter number 2, we'll begin in verse number 1. And it came to pass, when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho, and the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they two went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off. And they too stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. Came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I'm taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. And when the sons of the prophets, which were to view at Jericho, saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. That's reading the first 15 verses of 2 Kings chapter 2. Would you pause with me for just a brief word of prayer? Our Father, we pause to give thee thanks for these moments, for that special sense of thy presence, for the testimonies of thy people, and the fellowship that is ours in Christ the Son. We praise you for thy word We ask that thou wouldst take us beyond ourselves into that divine realm where the Bible is more than black letters on white paper. But the very oracles of God are made real to our hearts. We pray, Lord, that thou wouldst open our eyes and open our ears and open our hearts. For all that thou wouldst do for us, we'll be grateful. By thy grace we will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In my study, I have some treasures that I don't think I could replace. Some of my treasures are books. I'm not a golfer or a hunter or a fisherman. None of that's wrong in itself, but my little hobby is books. And I'm grateful for all the treasures that I have in my library. Then there's some treasures that come in the form of photographs or memories in picture form. Also some little whatnots that have come out of different people's studies and the different preacher friends who have made impact on my life. But I suppose my favorite treasure in my study is a large frame, sort of a rectangular frame, which has three different pictures or three different objects in it. It's three pictures in one frame. In one frame, there is a picture of the great Baptist preacher from England, Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Nothing unusual about the portrait. I've seen others and I have others of him in my study. But along with that portrait is a picture or a copy of a front page of one of his sermons that he preached over 100 years ago. Nothing unusual about that. I have the sermon in some of the volumes. But the one that makes it so valuable to me is in the third picture or the third frame, the third part of the frame. I have Spurgeon's sermon that is printed. I have what the stenographer copied down while he was preaching. And then Spurgeon's handwriting is there. He used purple ink and he marked through some of it and added certain words. And you can see that it was printed just like he marked through it and made it. So I've got those three pictures basically in one frame. I know that's nothing unusual. You've seen frames with mats that had different sizes and different shapes for pictures, maybe family pictures or whatever you wanted to put in. I've given that little introduction because I want to use these verses tonight as one frame. And I'd like to give you three pictures that are found in this one frame. Now, when I say pictures, I know that it's not a photograph. I know that it's not a pencil drawing. I know that it is a picture, a word picture in the scriptures. But even more than that, there are three different types in these verses. When we use that word type in our study of the Bible, we mean by that objects or people that portray or picture something beyond themselves. And I believe Elijah in this scene, in this frame, Elijah is a type or a picture of the Savior. Elijah comes right down to the end of his ministry, and he is caught away. And in many ways, he reminds us of Christ's earthly ministry being finished and his being caught away into heaven, or he is ascending into heaven. And then there's a second picture in this frame. Not only is Elijah a type or a picture of the Savior, but Elisha, the successor of Elijah, is a type or a picture of the saint or the Christian. Elijah, a picture of Christ. Elisha, a picture of the church or the believer. Then there is a third picture in this particular frame. It's the mantle that Elijah had worn through his ministry. And as he ascends back, well, as he ascends up to heaven, the mantle falls back to the earth. And Elisha picks up that mantle, and it becomes his. And he is able to use it and implement it in similar ways as did Elijah. As Elijah is a type or a picture of the Savior, and Elisha is a type or a picture of the saint, the mantle is a type or a picture of the Spirit. And so with those three pictures before us in the frame of these 15 verses, I'd like to give you some of the similarities, and then I'll give you my final emphasis, which has been my burden throughout the day. First of all, I want us to look at Elijah as a type or a picture of the Savior. Somebody might ask, well, how would Elijah be a type of Jesus? Well, there are many ways, but keep in mind that even in Jesus' day, when people heard Jesus speak and watch him perform miracles, they said that he was Elijah. There were many similarities. I'm just going to magnify three that emerge here in this picture or in this frame. First of all, Elijah is a type of Christ in as we see his authority. The authority of Elijah points us to the authority of the Savior, the Lord Jesus. I don't want to get too bogged down here. But the Jesus in people, in many people's minds in our day, is a helpless, pitiful, historical figure only. But the Jesus of the Bible is Lord and Master. He is heaven's authority on earth. Somebody said, well, what about Elijah? How does he project that? Look with me briefly in verse number 5. As Elijah and Elisha go from one place to the other, the sons of the prophets said to him in verse number 3 and in verse number 5, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? Or as thy head. Here Elijah's authority is revealed. They refer to him as master, and they allude to his headship, his position of authority. And so Elijah is a type of the Savior. He's a type of the authority of the Savior. There's another truth that I must mention briefly because I want to look at it in a few moments by itself alone. But not only do we see the authority of the Savior projected or typified by Elijah, but we see the apparel of the Savior typified by Elijah's apparel. Now, the mantle, as I've already suggested, is a type of the Holy Spirit. And Elijah had this mantle with him everywhere he went. Someone might ask, well, what is a mantle? Well, it would be equivalent to what we would call our top coat here in this part of the world. And, of course, it wasn't a London fog. It was probably made out of camel hair or something similar. And Elijah kept it with him at all times. It kept him cool in the night, kept him cool in the heat during the day and kept him warm at night. Sometimes he may even use it as a pillow. In this scene, he uses it to cross the Jordan. He smites the Jordan with the mantle, and God honored him. I say, just as the mantle was a vital part of Elijah and his ministry, so the Holy Spirit cannot be separated from the Lord Jesus. Just as Elijah wore the mantle, Christ wore the Spirit, as it were. In fact, he was conceived by the Spirit. At his birth, the Holy Spirit was clothed. He was filled with the Spirit. He was led by the Spirit. He was anointed with the Spirit. The Bible says in the book of Acts that all of his miracles were wrought by the power of the Spirit. And in his death, Hebrews 9:14 says he offered himself back to the Father through the eternal Spirit. Romans 1:4 declares that Jesus was raised again from the dead by the Spirit of holiness. So Thomas Bradbury was right when he wrote, the Holy Spirit performed a ministry in the life of Christ from the virgin womb all the way to the virgin tomb. Christ wore, as it were, the mantle of the Holy Spirit. So the authority of the Seder is set forth in the mastery and the headship of Elijah. The apparel of the Savior, or the accompaniment of the Savior, the Holy Spirit, is set forth in the garment, the apparel of Elijah. Of course, the great truth set forth in this particular division, in this frame, is in Elijah's homegoing, we see the ascension of the Savior. Elijah had already been announced. The sons of the prophets knew that he was going to be leaving. And at this particular time at the Jordan River, he was caught away in a chariot of fire. Translated, if you please, without dying. Elijah, I can't help but think of this every time I come to Elijah's home going, to remind you of how human he was. You remember when he was under the juniper tree? He prayed that the Lord would just take his life. I'd be better off dead, Lord. And isn't it interesting? He prayed a prayer that wasn't anywhere near the will of God. He wasn't ever going to die. He went to heaven without dying, and there was praying to die. Sort of encourages me with some of the dumb prayers that I have prayed in life. At any rate, Elijah catches a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and is taken up into heaven by a whirlwind. It's even interesting to me that Elisha saw it. And as Christ ascended back to heaven, his disciples saw him going. And the angel said, this same Jesus whom ye see departed shall come again in like manner. And so the ascension of Elijah points us to the ascension of the Savior. Let me add one word to that. When he went into the heavens, Elisha saw him no more. And Jesus has not been seen on planet Earth. I don't care who tells you or who suggests that they've seen a vision of Jesus. No one has seen him since he went back to heaven to the Father's right hand. I met a man one time who told me, I asked him if he was a Christian. He said, a Christian? He said, one night I was in the bathtub soaking. And he said, Jesus appeared there where my shower head was. I saw him right there above my shower head. And I told him I wasn't trying to be ugly. I told him, I said, well, I don't know anything about a shower head, Jesus. I can tell you a bit about the Lord Jesus. Came to this earth to die for sinners. But he's not been seen since he left here. Yes, supernaturally he was revealed to the Apostle Paul on the Damascus Road, but I'm talking about physically, bodily. He's not been here on this earth. And so Elijah is a picture, a type of the Savior. That's the first picture in the frame. Now come with me to the second picture. Elisha is a picture or a type of the saint. He's a follower of Elijah. Elijah's a picture of Jesus. And Elisha following Elijah is a picture of the Christian following the Lord Jesus. Now, I'm just going to touch verses 1 through 8, but they are special verses. I read them for that reason. I knew I'm not spending a lot of time with them, but they're precious because in these first 8 verses, Elisha identifies with Elijah. The Christian is known, firstly, for his identification with Jesus. In fact, if I could sum up being a Christian, I wouldn't talk about how I felt when I knelt at the altar or how I feel inside. I would simply say, I have now identified with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm no longer a stranger and at a distance from him, but I've identified with him. I've identified with his life. I've identified with his death. I've identified with his burial. I've identified with his resurrection. I've identified with his enthronement. I've identified with his future coming. Elisha's identification with Elijah projects our identification with Jesus. Everywhere Elijah went, there was Elisha. Everywhere Elijah traveled, Elisha traveled. Elijah tried to get him to stay at Gilgal. He said, I'm not about to leave you. And so they went to Bethel. He tried to get him to stay at Bethel. He said, I'm not about to leave you. So they went together to Jericho. At Jericho, he tried to leave Elisha there. And Elisha said, I'm going with you all the way to Jordan. And so he followed him all the way, identifying with Elijah. Could I ask you tonight, have you identified with the Lord Jesus Christ? I got to thinking about Nicodemus today and Joseph of Arimathea. You remember, they were silent disciples. They were sort of closet disciples until Christ's death. And they came forth and took the body of Jesus down and prepared it for burial. And they put his precious body in the tomb of Joseph. They may have been slow, but they did eventually identify with the Lord Jesus. Make sure you identify with the one who died for sin. Make sure you identify with the one who died to please the Father. died to save sinners. We're also confronted with how Elisha is a picture of the saint, not only in his identification with Elijah, but his supplication unto Elijah. They got down to the Jordan, and Elijah took his mantle, and he smote the Jordan, and the waters divided, and they went over on dry ground. To me, this miracle at the Jordan River is just as big as the miracle of the parting of the Red Sea. As the children of Israel went over on dry ground, Elijah and Elisha went over on dry ground. There was a distinction here, a divine distinction. And the ground was dry, maybe even a little dusty as they traveled across. The Bible tells us that when they came across, verse 9, Elijah said, Elisha, ask what I should do for thee. You told the sons of the prophets you knew I was going to be called away from you today. Why don't you ask me what I can do for you before I'm taken away? And Elisha didn't blink. He already had it in his heart. He didn't have to vote on it. Nobody had to prime the pump and get him in a frenzy to ask this. No. Come right out of him. He said, sir, what I'd like to have more than anything else is a double portion of thy spirit. I've seen you work miracles. I've heard you preach in the power and demonstration of the spirit. And I'm so weak and I'm so limited, I feel like if my ministry is successful, I'm going to have a double portion of what you got, Elijah. And Elijah said, well, that's a pretty hard request. But he said, if you see me when I get out of here, if you watch me leave, it'll take place. I don't believe Elisha took his eyes off of him from that moment on. What a request. But is that not often the request of God's people? Lord, if you needed the Holy Spirit, how much more in my limitations, in my weakness, in my human boundaries, how much more do I need the power of the Holy Spirit? He's a type, a picture of the Christian, not only in his identification, he's seen walking together with Elijah, but in his supplication, he asks for a double portion of thy spirit. Now we could ask the Lord Jesus for many things tonight, but I don't know of anything we need more than a double portion of the blessed Holy Spirit. We're so anemic in our day. I hear about the Christians in years gone by, and it's an embarrassment to me that I'm so weak and flimsy. I was complaining to the Lord this morning. Y'all don't ever do that, I know. I was complaining to the Lord this morning, Lord, I don't want to be gone next week. I don't want to be away from my family next week. And I took down one of Corey Ten Boone's books. And I sat down and read two or three chapters of Corey Ten Boone's report of her sufferings in communist camps. And on one occasion, she wrote her sister, and she said, I've been so homesick since I arrived here. But when I think upon Jesus, I'm not homesick anymore. I was trying to get a little inspiration. And I got under conviction. had to repent. Lord, help me. I'm looking at home more than I'm looking at Jesus. Help me, Lord. I want to say we need the power of the blessed Holy Ghost. You need His power around the house. If we've ever needed the power and the energy of the Holy Spirit in our home life, it's in this hour. You need the power of the Holy Spirit on the job with the antagonistic voices and attitudes. We need the power of the Holy Spirit in our Sunday school classes. We need the power of the Holy Spirit in our singing. We need the power of the Holy Spirit in our preaching, in our witnessing. Oh, may God somehow let a double portion fall upon us and come upon us in this hour. The Spirit of Jesus. Oh, that might be our prayer. Elisha is a type of and a picture of the saint, not only in his identification with Elijah, but in his supplication unto Elijah. One other word before we come to that third picture in this one frame. I believe Elisha is a type and a picture of the Christian, thirdly, in his representation of Elijah. When he smote the Jordan with the mantle and came back across, the prophets, the sons of the prophets, which were at Jericho, looking down at the Jordan, they said, now this is the Hayes translation, I'm just trying to make it personal to me. They said, I want you to look at Elisha. The same spirit that was on Elijah is now on Elisha. He came across that Jordan the same way Elijah did. He was a representation of Elijah. Elijah's gone. But if you want to see something that resembles Elijah, you watch Elisha. The Lord Jesus is not here tonight physically, visibly, bodily. But if you want to see something of what He's like, you get around a spirit-filled believer and you'll catch a little glimpse of what Jesus is like. The Spirit of Jesus just rests upon that believer. Now I want us to look at that third picture in this frame. We've looked at Elijah, a type, a picture of the Savior. We've looked at Elisha, a type, a picture of the saint. Briefly, I'd like to mention three ways that the mantle is a type, a picture of the Spirit. Now, let me begin by pointing out in verse number 13 that when Elijah came to the Jordan, Elisha came to the Jordan after Elijah had ascended to heaven, he had near to him the mantle of Elijah. Could I say then, the mantle is a type of the presence of the Holy Spirit. Elijah had the mantle when they first went across the Jordan. But now as Elisha comes back, he has the mantle. Beloved, we as God's people tonight have the wonderful and rich possession of the blessed presence of the Holy Spirit. I can't grasp why God would bless us in this grace age and give us the presence of the Holy Ghost. But Jesus said before He went back to heaven, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm not going to leave you like little orphans in this world, but I'm going to send you the Comforter. I'm going to send my Spirit back to you. And He shall be with you and shall be in you. The presence of the Holy Spirit is set forth in the mantle. Here comes Elisha. What's that He's got with him? Oh, He's got the mantle. And believers have the Holy Spirit in this age. He that hath not the Spirit, Paul said, is none of his. None of his. You don't get the Holy Spirit in diverse packages. He comes at conversion to live in his people. Regeneration is to be born of the Spirit. The Spirit is present to do his work in our lives. There's another truth here. As Elisha comes back to the Jordan, he not only has the mantle, and the mantle typifies the presence of the Spirit. But notice, secondly, he took the mantle in verse 14 and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. He not only knew something about the presence of the mantle, which is a picture of the presence of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer, but he knew something about the power of the mantle, which is a picture of the power of the Holy Spirit in the lives of the believer. In fact, he took that top coat and smote the Jordan, and the same thing that had happened when Elijah smote the waters happened for Elisha. May I say, beloved, we do not just need new skills in the service of God in our day. It isn't that we just need some new approach. We need the power of the blessed Holy Ghost. And Jesus said as he went back to heaven, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Let me mention quickly, not only does the mantle point us to the presence of the Spirit being near and close to Elisha, and not only does the mantle speak to us of the power of the Spirit being used to divide the Jordan waters, I see the prophets, the sons of the prophets afar off. And when Elisha used the mantle to smite the waters, they experienced what I'm calling the persuasiveness of the mantle. It wasn't Elisha coming back that got their attention. But it was the mantle that was a means of opening up the Jordan. That's what got their attention. Beloved, it's not just us knowing something about the Bible that touches other people's lives. It's not just us being familiar with church that rings the bell in somebody's heart. But it's the power of the Holy Spirit bearing witness in our lives. Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, don't let this bother you, but I've preached everything I've preached so I could preach. It won't take me but about 3 minutes. This is what I've carried around all day. I want you to imagine with me Elisha standing at Jericho with Elijah. We're going to call that side of the Jordan Elisha's world. That's where he's been living, on that side of Jordan. Elijah took the mantle and smote the Jordan, and they left Elisha's world and went over into Elijah's world, the divine. Just anybody could move like that across the Jordan. It was God ordered and God enacted. Elisha is brought by the mantle out of his world into Elijah's world. Then Elijah is caught up in the heaven. The mantle falls back down to the earth. Elisha picks up that same mantle And he smites the Jordan, and the Jordan opens, and he comes back into his world. And the people in his world saw something of that other world in his life. The application for you and me tonight is there is a sphere in which we live. There is a world that is our world. But the Lord Jesus, by his Spirit, would take us into the divine world and let us experience the divine world. And so experience the divine world that the Spirit bring us back into our world and our world catch a glimpse of the divine in us. Somebody said, oh, I wish we could get some more people to come to church. I wish we could see more people saved. I wish we could see an ingathering of souls. I wish, listen, God may be wanting us to cross the Jordan by his Spirit to move out of our little world into his world so that when we do speak to others, there'll be some of that other world on what we're saying. Three pictures in one frame. Oh, that God might use this Old Testament account to bring you and me into a fresh realization of what is available for us in Christ. You're standing with me. Your heads are bowed.